Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody close to you, say, get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. If God can take 12 men, 120 people that encounter the power of the Holy Spirit to transform the whole world and give us the legacy we enjoy today, he can do it again. Amen? He can do it again. He can do it with you. 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 Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Get ready. Get ready. Tell your person, say, I will not leave this place the way I came. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song. It's a declaration this morning. And our sister led us this morning. I'm so glad she did. We are S. Father, we are joined as with the Son Jesus. We are children of the kingdom. We are families. We are one. Declare it again. We are S. Karabakasa of the Father. We are joint as with the Son. Hallelujah. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. I thank you that everyone in this place and those watching, that Father, you will rekindle a fresh fire. Oh, you will awaken, oh God, a giant in them. You will stir up that lion to come alive. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Let everyone leave this place knowing they have encountered you afresh and anew. Father, I thank you that you destroy bondages, you will heal the sick, you will raise the dead, you will cause the lame to walk again, you will do that which only you love to do. We give you glory. This day you remind us of why you came, who you are, what you can do, and we give you glory. Let the name of your Son Jesus be lifted high, be exalted, and be magnified. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Speak to us this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to read a few scriptures today that will remind us of why the Holy Spirit came. Amen? We're not going to read a whole lot, but we're going to read enough and that will help us to receive what the Lord has for us. Amen? Amen. God raised up a nation and God introduced himself to them. And he called them and set them apart to be his nation. And he will be his people, the children of Israel, the Hebrew children. And God introduced himself to them through Moses from the mountain and revealed himself to them. And Moses demanded that he will go with them. And God says, okay, make room for me to go. And created the tabernacle. And God started working with the people. What distinguishes the children of Israel from every other nation was the supernatural. If your presence does not go, how are we different from the rest of the world? Amen? After God established them as a people, as a nation, that God is with through signs and miracles and wonders, God started setting them up to prepare them for the future. So he started revealing himself to them. The Bible says, like, you know, the Old Testament was like a shadow of things to come. So he could not just use everybody because they were under the law. So remember, it's a shadow. So he sets aside a tribe called the Levites. And in the Old Testament, when he set them aside, the purpose was to the word consecrate was they were set aside to be able to facilitate hosting God in every capacity. Whether they are in charge of anything, they were set aside as a tribe to serve the purpose of God for the whole nation. So they were set aside. So within the Levites, God also sets aside certain levels of service. Those that serve in the outer court, holy place, the holy of holies, those that serve in different capacity. And the Levites, their inheritance was God. They didn't have to work, they didn't have to do what every other person does because the nations gave them the tithes so they can be able to take care of them. And they gave them lands so they can focus on what God has called them to do as a people. So within that Levites, God told Moses, set aside the high priest, the priesthood, and the other Levites in different things. Levites means set apart. So now, when God sets aside some of them that were to really minister at very high level, there's something he did in the Old Testament. He told Moses, then later he tells the prophets, to anoint them. Anoint them, to pour oil upon them and anoint them. The purpose of the anointing is to seal the power of God, the presence of God, for God to affirm that with the supernatural. To give them the capacity and the ability to function in that office in a supernatural way. So, in the Old Testament, there were a few particular areas that were recognized. I mean, people flowed and people pressed in like Hannah and touched God. But there were offices that were anointed. And those offices, because of the anointing upon them, they operated that way. For example, the office of the high priest. Set apart, consecrated, anointed. The office of the priest. Then the office of the prophets. It was the voice, the oracle of God. Then the office of the kings. When a king is raised, he's anointed. So what anointing means is you've been empowered supernaturally to serve in that capacity to represent what Israel means to the world and to the nation. So the anointing was the power of God. Amen? Amen. So that was kind of a pattern. So understanding that, David was anointed at a young age. Saul was not doing what God called him to do with the anointing. He was building it on self. So God raised up somebody who will use the anointing for God's purpose. Because the anointing can be... Once you're anointed, you can do whatever you want. But God looks for those who will use it for what God wants. So God found David to be that man who will not use the anointing for selfish reasons. So when he came, I want you to notice this. David, at a young age, the oil was poured upon him by the prophet, set apart to be a king. So he was anointed. From the moment David was anointed, something changed in the atmosphere of his life. At a young age, because of the reason of the anointing, he started functioning in such a capacity and understanding that when he was taking care of his sheep, the bear came and David was able to slay the bear. And then another time when he was taking care of the sheep, lion came, David killed the lion. You can't do it in a human strength. So because of that, killing the bear and killing the lion, and later killed Goliath, eventually was made king. Amen? Now, the levels of anointing upon his life eventually prepared him to be a ruler in Israel. He was anointed. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that anointing carried him. One thing I want to mention why I brought up David here, because we're going to get there in a few minutes also, is when God has put an anointing upon you, upon your life, if you do not exercise it and you keep operating as a physical person, you will leave the anointing dormant and it will look like God is not working. I give an example. When the lion came, the deer came, he exercised something that is outside of his capacity to confront the situation. He was testing the anointing. Amen? That's God's presence. Now, really quick, because we're going somewhere. What does it mean to exercise? Exercise. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that there are those who have gone before us. Then we are to run this race. Amen? We are to run this race with endurance, knowing there are those that have gone before us. And he went on to talk about Jesus as an example we should follow. The word there is race. This calling upon your life, upon my life, this calling to be set apart as a believer is a race. So if you're going to run a race, amen? Always use the physical to, if the physical makes sense to you, then you know why you need to pay the price for the spiritual. If you're going to run a race, some of us, you know, if I walk from here, go here 5 times, I'm going to stop and start going. Because I'm not used to walking. So your body will tell you, you have to do it more often for you not to stop. So if you're going to run, if all of us get up here and say, let's all try and run from there, just a little run from there, you'll see how many of us will be breathing. Myself, by the time I run to that place, I'll start going, But if I do it every day, do it every week, I will not be running there. I'll start running in the street. There's a trader comes here. He runs a marathon around the city. He didn't start today. He exercised his muscles. The capacity is there, but without the exercise, you cannot function when you're needed. Amen? So if you don't exercise faith, it doesn't work for you. But without faith, you don't do the supernatural. You don't connect with the supernatural. Without faith. So faith needs exercise in small things. So you can handle the big things, because you won't be disappointed because you've been in. Anyway, so that's the word exercise. If you're going to run a race, a marathon race, you're going to run for Olympics, you're not going to wake up one day and get to the Olympics. Amen? Thank God for people that regulate things like that. They don't just make you get there. You go through a process. They know you've been tested. You win here, you win there, before you can get to that level. Even at that level, when you're running, you see that there are people who have exercised more, and they are going around that field so fast, and they look like they have more strength. Exercise. And that capacity is in all of us. What makes the difference is the exercise. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So now, Isaiah, the prophet, had a lot of revelations. And one of them is found in Isaiah chapter 61. A very popular, familiar scripture. Isaiah received this word from the Lord, and it was a revelation of the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord. In Isaiah 61, Abby will be helping us as we go, and I just want you to see this. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has what? Anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you by reason of the anointing. And the anointing has an assignment. It's an office. Said, one is an anointed me to what? Preach. Good news. Not bad news. Good news unto the meek.
Amen.
Those that are hungry. He has sent me. The anointing sends you. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There are people that have been so wounded from childhood. They have been so wounded in adulthood. They've been so wounded, their soul is so paralyzed, nothing can shift. They live almost like caged in relationship, in anything. God says the anointing can shift that, can heal that brokenness. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. Pharaoh had the people captive. They came out of Egypt. They came out of a physical boundary, but many of them were not free in their soulish realm. He says, but God has not only, the anointing does only bring healing, but he sets the captives free. He says it opens the prison doors for them that are bound. My brothers and sisters, those that are in jail today, for one reason or the other, they have a time to serve. They have this, they have that. They have a sentence upon their life. It says the anointing can open those doors. In the spiritual sense, it means no matter the bondage, no matter the captivity, no matter the prison anybody is in, spiritually, physically, say the anointing can set you free, can open the door. We all know where God brought us from. It says the anointing proclaims the acceptable day of the Lord, the day of favor. Meaning the anointing can give you uncommon favor. Isaiah 45 talks about Cyrus, a hidden king that was anointed, and God says, I will open the double doors. The anointing, like Joseph, took the favor of the Lord, took Joseph from prison to the top of favor in that whole land. The anointing is called, can give you supernatural favor. Supernatural favor are experiences you have that men cannot explain how you got there. I've experienced a lot of that in my life. A lot of that. Favor, uncommon favor. The anointing does that. The anointing can open doors that no man can shut. Favor. Then it says, vengeance. The vengeance of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The vengeance of the Lord. The Babylonians will come. They took Israel captive. When it was time, God took vengeance on them, broke Babylon, brought Israel out with great glory. Egypt held Israel captive. God came, destroyed, shattered Egypt, brought Israel out with resources. Amen? Avenge no man, but let the Lord avenge for you. Amen? So, this talks about some of the categories. If you take each of those powerful manifestation of the anointing, you can break them down into every need today is covered in this place.
Yes.
It simply means there is nothing God cannot do, because the anointing is actually the Spirit of God released to function on behalf of the kingdom to solve unimpossible cases. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why it says in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. In other words, God can take a pimp, he can take a harlot, he can take a beggar, he can take anybody and put them in high places. Anointing can reverse your destiny. Beautiful ashes. Amen. So now, Jesus came. The one, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came. And he wanted to reveal the kingdom of God and the power of identifying with the kingdom of God. Amen. So when Jesus came, just for time, he went to his own time. He's been preparing for 30 years. He got to his own country, Nazareth, to preach after he's been ministering. He opened the book of Isaiah, this very Isaiah, to read. And he read from this very scripture that I just told you. He's been around his people for so long, 30 years. And he read this scripture to them. And he read the scripture to them. And he closed the book. And he looked at them. And he said, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. You would have thought the church would go wild with excitement. They will go with hallelujah. They will just jump in. Finally, the Messiah, the breakthrough, the anointing to set us free to do wonders is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know what they did? I pray none of you will do it here today. Because I'm about to share some things with you. They could not receive it. They said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Mary? Is this not the one that, is this not the one we play soccer with? Is this not the one we, is this not? He's saying, this thing will be reading all this while, all these things about, they just were so angry that this human being we've been with for so long is saying he is the Messiah. They closed their ears. We don't want to hear. They went to carry him, and they didn't want to waste time and just throw him from the cliff and kill him right away because they feel that was blasphemous. Karonde brendi kasante mandoshka. May the Lord open your eyes to see who you are. They did not know who he is. He knew who he is. He says, I'm telling you, this is who I am. They said, what? Hallelujah. But guess what? He went out to the people that didn't know him when he was young. They didn't know him in the flesh. They didn't know him as human. They didn't know. He went and told them, this is who I am. If you believe, you receive. They believed and miracles was happening. Things were happening. Things were happening. Things were happening all over the place. And they were offended. Those that religious. How can this guy be doing this? I pray again. By the time we are through today, may the Lord open your eyes so you know who you are. You are not born again to be a human being. You are in the human being, but you're not a human being. You are born of God. God is a spirit. We are in the world. We are not of the world. So Jesus stepped into his identity. Because one day, John was ministering, John the Baptist, and Jesus came and went into that same flow and was being, and suddenly he has to, all scripture has to be fulfilled. Because God already told John, watch, there's a man coming. You don't know him. He didn't know it's his cousin. John has always known about Jesus. They are cousins. They are related. They grew up the same time. They were born 6 months apart. But he didn't know. He said, but he's coming. The one that you see, the dove, you see the spirit come on. That's the one. So John was baptizing people. And suddenly, there was a different baptism. This time, it was not just water. Well, it was a spiritual water from heaven. It was a sound from heaven. It was an open heaven. Abranda Brelaska. It was the spirit of the Lord. And he said, heaven opened. He came upon him. And the heaven never closed. I don't know if you heard me. Heaven has never closed. The only thing that closes heaven is unbelief. Faith has an open heaven anytime. So, suddenly, the Spirit of God rested upon him. And the power of God came upon him. Now, he can say at that moment, Isaiah 61, is being fulfilled. Nobody saw it. But his spirit man was connected. The connection was made to the powerhouse. Amen? Amen. That's why he was able to go out and say to his people, Isaiah 61 is here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. From that moment on, Jesus, the Father said, this is my son. Amen? My brothers and sisters, the only way you have access to the anointing is because you are a child of the kingdom. Yes. Amen? If you're not born again, you can't see it. If you're not born again, you can't enter into it. Unless a man is born again, you cannot ascribe to the anointing. In the Old Testament, if the Jews were not set apart, they cannot be under that covering. So in today's world, the moment you are born again, you are born into a supernatural kingdom. Amen? So now what happened? God will never ask you to do something he has not given you an example how it works. So he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. So Jesus walked for 3 years showing us, revealing us to us, but then was training a group of 12 men and so many that were following him, said, just watch me. He was demonstrating what the anointing does. From the governmental anointing of Isaiah 11 to all this Isaiah 61. All. So they followed him. And for 3 years plus, it's written here what it looks like when a son of God that knows his identity yields to the anointing. So, when there's a problem, he says, okay, if we don't have money to feed, the anointing can provide food. He prays, 5,000 gets fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They didn't have money to pay. See, I know I'm going a little further, but the anointing, we'll get there. The anointing is the manifestation of the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing the anointing cannot do. Jesus actually put it this way. Mary said, how can I give birth when I don't know a man? He said, when the anointing, when the Spirit is upon you, there is nothing impossible. For that which will come forth will be by the Spirit. Nothing is impossible. Because the anointing is the manifestation of God's power. So, really quickly, you see, the anointing, just like God was trying to teach the children of Israel, has no limit. So why? Jesus was trying to teach them, when they face a demonic person, he sets them free. When they face a lame person, when they face a leaked person, when they face a dead person, anything they face, Jesus was trying to tell them, anything human has no limit that God cannot fix. Because they are human. They are nature. Okay? I don't know how to get to where they are. The anointing caused him to walk on water to where they are. In other words, there is no problem God cannot fix if we make ourselves available, prepared for the Holy Ghost. I ask the Lord, and I will continue. God, how can we convince people that you've given the mind and intelligence through academic intelligence, human mind, to go to the moon, to build spacecraft, to make all this money, to do this? How can we prove, how can we convince them? How can they fall before you, Jesus, and surrender? Because now they are gods in their mind. God says to me, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers. What is he saying? He says, I will do a work that my people... You see, the anointing flows from what you believe and you speak. You can tell the nature, do this. You can tell the sun to stop. You can tell this. You can tell the water to part. You can. The anointing causes every human being to baffle at the wonders of God that comes out of your mouth by faith. Hebrews 11. He says, what I will do in these last days, all of them, from the scientists to the atheists to all these religious people, the knowledge of my glory will cover. They will know. I will do it. Don't worry. So Jesus gave us an example that in any situation we find ourselves, just yield to the anointing. I was in a very difficult situation one time. I think I've told you all some of the story. And I just have one day. I was one day to pay a very big bill. Just because of the situation came suddenly. Thousands of dollars. How could I do it? You know, I was just praying. And I was walking to the bathroom. Just walking, and suddenly I heard the voice of the Lord. It was almost from the back here. I'm here. I'm with you. The next day it was fixed. Supernaturally. So Jesus came from heaven to show us not the Old Testament limitations of what God did with the anointing, but this time he came to show us something beyond the anointing. Where sons and daughters will be raised up, anointed to reveal the glory of God in the earth. He showed us And he said, you see what I've done? You see what, when I walk on the sea, when I raise the dead, when I do this, you know, you see all this stuff? You will do greater. Why? Because the problems, the greater problems that come, God leaves the standard of anointing. Yes. Philip had need to go somewhere. He was not an apostle. He was just somebody that understood the anointing. He was witnessing. He had to meet somebody. God said, no, 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 no. You're not going to go late. He disappeared. Went in transit, caught the Ethiopian guy, did the assignment, and disappeared. None of the apostles worked like that. The anointing provides solution for the need, no matter what it is, at any time. So Jesus revealed that, manifested that, rose in the spirit. So now, Jesus has given the example. He said, are you ready? Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28. Oh, open our eyes, Father. Sonde brande salade. After Jesus has given them example, taught them, the last chapter, the last verse in the book of Matthew was finishing, then he told them this. He said, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus said to them, guys, all power in heaven and in us. All is given to me. All. Not some. Meaning, all the powers in the third heaven, all the powers of the satanic world in the second heaven, in below the sea, everywhere, all is under my authority. What he was going to execute at the cross. Amen? Amen. 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 All. All power. Amen. Jesus says, it belongs to me. So what did he do? He told them, I'm leaving. And they were getting sad. They were getting like, how can you bring us to this place, this brink, this excitement? We are ready to roll, we are ready to rule. And you say you're leaving. He said something they did not understand. If I don't leave, you will not have the power. Because when I leave, everything that I am, I'll release to you. It's called inheritance. You've been with me. You've seen me. You labored. But you see this work, this greater work you're going to do, is only when I go to the Father. Everything I have, it will be released to you. If I don't leave, you can't have it. It's better for you that I leave. Kora baba bashata baba. Era mama shente baba. Zera mama kara baba sata. Somebody will receive something today. I pray that you don't leave this place. See, when you hear a word, you hear a preaching, don't so much go finish with just the sound in your head. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is impacting in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what Jesus did? I want us to open to the book of Acts chapter 1. Halabakasaranda kaya namasate. Rokoto sekeria namaseya. Jile makanto robo shekataya. Oh, help me find the book of Acts. Karabashante mama. Arababababashata. Remasaya. Rekemasanti. Ah. Lokoria masita rabakaya. Selimekendi mama kayando shukadababa. Jesus was going to leave. After he died, now he's no more physically here, but he's now spiritually here. And he was appearing to them for the next 40 days from crucifixion. And suddenly he came to them, and Luke wrote it here. Look at what he told them. Kai salabakaye, Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power. Ora masata bababa. Ora makasate rebababa. Ora sente mamakaya baba. Ere kerebe seta. Ere makasata rababa. Haraka sarabakaya baba. Ere masante rebaba baba. Ha jata baba makaba. You shall receive. Ha! Power. Power. How? He says, you shall receive power. What? When? How? After the Holy Ghost. Kamashata. Ha! After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Hey! Today is your Pentecost Sunday. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing something already. You better receive it. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Sundere baba baba baba. Sendere be karaba baba. Yekeria baba baba baba. Sekentere baba baba. Lekerebe kusuru boka baba. You cannot be born again without the Holy Ghost. Mary said, how can I give birth to a supernatural child? Jesus, the angel said, you Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Go and study that word. That word overshadow means he will envelop. He will incubate you. So it's impossible for you to be born again without the incubation of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh was incubated by a physical woman. That which is born of the Spirit is by the Holy Spirit. So when you are born again, you're not born into the physical world. You're born into the spiritual realm. Now you are in the world. You're not of the world. You are in the natural world, but you're a supernatural person. you shall receive power. Amen. Whose power? The power of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus walked for 30 years, there was not one miracle mentioned. When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he says, if the books, if miracles were written, there's no book that can contain it. He said to the disciples, go and wait. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Which power? The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. All power in heaven and in earth is given to me. You will receive it when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. All power is in the Holy Ghost. You will receive that power when you receive the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost when you are born again by the Holy Ghost. So, what's happening? Really quickly, let's look at a few manifestations. Anyway, for time, because God wants to do something here. Really quick, Jesus told them in, Abby can put it, I'll just say it, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Matthew 10, 8. If you can put Matthew 10, 8 there. He said to them, Matthew 10, 1, put 10, 1 first. 10, 1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal every, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 8. Matthew 8, he says, he sent them forth, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely what? Give. I give you power. That was when they were in training. What's Luke chapter 9? Let's look at Luke chapter 9 verse 1. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. I want you to see something here too. He called his 12 disciples, Matthew said it, Luke said it, together and gave them what? Power and authority over all devils and to cure what? Diseases. I want you to pay attention. He gave them power. He told them, you will receive, and for you to receive something means somebody gives you something and then you receive. Yeah. I was on the plane. I've told you all that story. And the Lord says, I want you to meet the president of the president of this country. There was no need for it. But God wanted to teach me a lesson. The long and short story, I said, okay. Then he said, ask to meet him. I asked to meet him. But before then, I was so afraid. I was intimidated. I was thinking all kinds of things. And he says, remember who you are. Amen. And he calmed me down, and I asked, and the president asked for me to come right away. It wasn't necessary, but it was a training. I have seen this happen everywhere. Even this trip I came from, I see it happen everywhere. He gave them power and authority over all. Amen? So, what's happening to us? What's going on? Because today is Pentecost, God wants to do something. He wants to reactivate. He wants to awaken. He wants to turn us back. He wants to, whatever you call it, he doesn't want anybody to leave this place the same. I want you to know, every one of you sitting here, if you are born again, you have power inside of you. Why will he say, greater is he that is what? Who is in you? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Kai. My brothers and sisters, God, open my eyes. I want you to see this. It doesn't matter the way you were born. It doesn't matter how you were born. It doesn't matter whether you're poor. It doesn't matter whether you're rich. It doesn't matter whether you're tall. It doesn't matter whether you're short. It doesn't matter whether you're fat. It doesn't matter whether you're slim. It doesn't matter who you are. That is under the world standard of thinking. And when you fit into the world standard of thinking, there's something that is always better than you, and you feel inferior and insecure. That's why God said, I will pour out my spirit and give it to everyone. Anyone that knows who they are, knows who they are. You cannot have God in you and be insecure. You have God. Wake up, you here. If you don't have God, all fingers are not equal in the world. There is insecurity, there's pride, there's all kinds of things. I've been to places I feel like, oh my God, I just find a place. And God will say, who are you? Everything changes. I go back. If Jesus did not come, we are in trouble. The world is in trouble. Everything is in trouble because all fingers are not equal. And the mightiest and the best and the strongest, the greatest and the mighty, makes others feel like they are things they can kill and throw away and just slave. So when Jesus came, he said, I am going to give you all of heaven when you receive my spirit. When you have the spirit of God, no man can limit you. You have God inside of you. Do you know what it means? Out of your belly. These men are unlearned men. These men were hiding from the Pharisees. Jesus was crucified. They were running. They were hiding for their life. They were coming after us. Fear gripped them. And suddenly Pentecost came. The Spirit came. They came out of that place like lions. Amen. Who shall we fear? Who shall we obey? But God. Because of the anointing. Their identity shifted. And authority came. Boldness came. Because this is Pentecost, it's important you pay attention. I've talked about exercise. If you don't exercise the reality of the Holy Ghost in you, you will not know you have it. I've been to places where my humanity was, we are human, we live in a human body. I feel so insecure. I feel like I don't belong. I feel like there was one place me and Keziah went to, we just felt like we don't belong. It's a place where rich and famous, and We just felt intimidated. But I just went in my spirit. I didn't tell her. It was later I started going, Kurabaka Santa Man Kurabada Besataba Selebeke Sunturobo Kataba. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I stirred up my spirit. We started going. I wrote it in my diary. I never forgot. God in my spirit took me far above man, far above principalities. See, that's who you are. You are seated with me. And so all this subject to you. Before that time, I was so intimidated. So honestly, me and her were going to the gate where you go snack and have. We're just going. We saw the gateman that opens the door for dignitaries to come. We thought they're going to ask us. We don't have right to go past that. We were so intimidated until we moved closer. We found out he's supposed to open the door for us also. Because our mind we are like grasshoppers. And they are giants. It was later they found out I was the guest speaker for all these people. I was the guest speaker, but in my mind, I was like a grasshopper. Until God should. Because if God didn't wake me up, I would have been shaking, standing before the speaker. But when God woke me up, I was the one that was the speaker in the midst of all these people. Finally, just like what God said in the spirit, they're the ones going, hey, good to, can I meet you? How? That was a powerful. But in my mind, I was a grasshopper until I remembered, greater is he that is in you than anything there in the world. Really quickly, I'm going to do this quickly because we're going to pray. Five things that helped me. Five things that will help you revive, help you remember in difficult times, in challenging times, whatever situation, you are not alone. You have the Holy Ghost. You have power inside of you. It's there. Let's open to John chapter 5. I want to show you. No, let's open first to Timothy. I can't see the time. Okay. Timothy. Let's open to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then we'll go to John. I wanted us to read a few scriptures to help us keep our minds. Second Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see something here. Timothy is born again, spirit filled, pastoring one of the powerful churches in Ephesus. Paul writes him this letter when they were going through a very difficult time. I want you, Abby, put verse 6 first. So you see how the power of God works. Wherefore, Timothy, I put thee in what? Remembrance of what? That thou stop the gift of God, which is where? Where? In you. Not somewhere else. You stir up the gift of God that is in you, that manifested on you, the anointing on you when I laid my hands on you. Timothy, you receive power. Timothy, you receive the anointing. Timothy, you know, you remember what happened when I laid hands on you. Stir it up. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, I want to show you something. Let's open to Matthew. Oh, sorry. You need to see this. Verse 7. What's the purpose of stirring the gift? Verse 7, Abby. For God has not what? Given us the spirit of intimidation. The spirit of insecurity. To fear. But what is the power? What is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? When you know it's inside of you. He says it's the power. But God has given you not the spirit of fear, but of what? Power of love. I don't know if you've been through some things. Your mind is going crazy. Your mind, you're about to lose your mind because everything is falling apart. And the devil is screaming in your head. And you are terrified with fear. He told Timothy, he was in that situation. Paul said, Timothy, you don't understand. Stop! 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 For God is not giving you that spirit that is overwhelming, overtaking your situation. But the spirit that is in you is powerful, full of love, and he gives you the mind of Christ. So the question is, fear. The bottom line of every crisis we face in this world is fear. Sickness, money, rent, this, children, whatever, it stirs up fear. Fear is, period, Satan's atmosphere. See, God has not given us, when we are born again, he says he's something, he's giving us a different spirit. And that spirit is the Holy Ghost. It's power. You shall receive power. My brothers and sisters, I want to announce to you today, you have power. Hallelujah. Inside of you. Amen. Is the Holy Ghost. God knew what's in the world. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. We can't do it, but he can do all things through us. All things through us that strengthens us. You don't have the spirit of fear, but you have the spirit of power and love. So what happens? Why is fear? Why do I go through the things I go through? I've shared stories because we're human. We live in a physical world where the storms come, the rains come, where the devil rages, where all these things are happening. The spirit of this age is challenging. He says, whenever these things are happening, he says, stir up the Holy Ghost. Stir up the Lion of Judah. Let's look quickly to John chapter 5. Hallelujah! Oh, Father, open our eyes. John chapter 5. Oh, Rabakasata. So I've never felt like running around the church. Karamasate. I just pray that somebody is hearing from the Lord this morning. All it matters is maybe one or two people that take a hold of what God is saying on this Pentecost day. And tomorrow we're going to find out, because you change the world. You change your atmosphere. John chapter 5. I want you to see this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep By the church gate, the sheep gate, sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, hot, withered, waiting for what? The moving of the water. What is the moving of the water? Remember the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow. The Holy Spirit is a river. Listen to this. They were waiting for the moving of the river, the water. How does the water move? Listen to this. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and stirs the water. Kabashande, Karabakasa, Lekerebesonto, Makarabasita, Ilababakondo, Rokodobushate. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building your most holy faith. For an angel went down a certain season in the pool and stirs the water. Listen to what happened when the water is stirred. Whosoever that first, after the troubling, see, the water is stirred, steps into it, is made whole of whatever disease he had. We have a pool, and it's the pool of the Holy Spirit. We have water, living water inside of us. That's what Jesus told that man. We carry a well. We go to Walmart, we go home, we are with family, we are eating, the pool is still. But when you start preaching, you start praying, you start doing some things, you stir the water. And out of your belly, it will begin to what? Flow. Flowing water is a miracle water. What is water? Jesus made it clear, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Five things. This is for us. Help me. How do you stir up the water? How do you stir up the water? Because the Holy Ghost is in you, is in me. How do you stir the water so it flows? So you can step in so that things can happen. Because without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible. Faith changes everything. How do you stir it up? Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Stir up. Stir up. Stir up. That word stir up is provoke, awake. There were so many words for it. And another word they use in Greek, in Hebrew, is wake up. It's like a lion sleeping. Wake up. Five things, really quick. How do you stir up? Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. Just for time, let me just rush this quickly. My brothers and sisters, that word stir does not mean something is not there. It means something is there, but the thing is lying dormant. It needs to be activated. To function, to move. So, the Word of God. The simple example I'll give you. If you have a fireplace and you put wood and the fire is burning, Pentecost started burning. Boo, fire, boo, boo, boo. All of a sudden, the amber goes down. The only way to stir that fire back is to add wood to the fire. You add wood. You add wood. And before you see it, the fire burns again. The word of God. Like you're hearing from me today. The word of God can stay you up. The spirit of God can stay. And a lot of people, when Billy Graham preaches, what is it? It's the word of God that stays people. Opens people. Stays you. Challenges you. Provokes you. Wakes you up. Timothy, stop the gift. Paul was putting the word in his spirit. Every time I go through something and I'm struggling and I'm reading, sometimes these words jump out of these letters and it's like, speaks to me. God said to Jeremiah, put my word in your mouth. To tear, to do. You know, when you hear from God, it changes everything. So number one, the word of God stirs you up. Amen. In other words, it's awakening you to what you already are, but you just needed to be awakened. Put that wood and the fire comes again. Hallelujah. That's one. We can go deep into that. Number two, worship. You know, you go to Walmart, you're doing things, and somebody comes and say, that brings this problem against you, whether it's a slander or you lose something or money or whatever, you are in a situation, you are fear, you're sad, you're wondering. The moment you just say, oh, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. You change the atmosphere. Amen. You stir up, you stir up, you stir up, you stir up, you stir up. Before you know it, the atmosphere begins to change and God begins to minister to you and you begin to live above. And the situation is still there, but you rise above it. Amen. By stirring what is already lined up. Number one, the word of God. Number two, worship. Number three, prayer. There's a reason. There are differences. There are all kinds of prayer. But praying in the spirit especially. Paul said, stop! Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building your most holy faith. I can't tell you, I've gotten to a place in my life when I'm driving anywhere I am speaking in the spirit. I got so used to it, sometimes it bothers the way I talk. So I say, stop doing that thing. You know, I don't even know when I'm praying. And I'm going, ch-ch-ch-ch. I reminded myself, somebody lives inside of me. It's a miracle. Sometimes I wake up going, just because I was already praying. My brothers and sisters, you were not given the Holy Ghost and for you to solve your own problem. He is a paraclete. He's a helper. He's a guide. He's everything we need, especially in the time of need. Stir up. Once you pray in the Holy Ghost, you find out interpretations, dreams, understanding. Sometimes you go to sleep, you stir up. You break fear, you stir up. Sometimes, I mean, I can go through so many examples. I have to go out sometimes to go to a place, to the mountain, to really pray. And I just prayed in the spirit and prayed. Before I'm done, have received understanding, revelation, knowledge. What I want, God has revealed to me because of the Holy Ghost. Stir up. Number four. Number one, the word of God. Number two, worship. You see, when we come to church, you worship. Number three, prayer. You know what happens when you pray. Number four. This is the one most people don't understand the effect of it. It's one of the most powerful things God has given us to stir things up. Fasting. My brothers and sisters, you can never cast away self. You can never deliver self. You can say all the spirits, all you can, but self can only be crucified. Nobody can do that for you. And the only way Isaiah 58 describes we can dethrone self, because there are four things in self. Wickedness. That's the nature of self. You can hug somebody right now, your heart is not there. You walk the next minute, who is doing that? It's not the, it's self. Jesus came to kill self. And one of the only way to crucify self, to humble self, to humble your soul, to purge your soul, to cleanse your soul, to open your spirit, stir up your spirit, to hear clearly from God, to silence the flesh, is a lifestyle of fasting. The reason Satan came into man was through food. The only way you get him out is not eating. From Adam and Eve. Don't eat food. That's the fall, self. If you want to die to self, fast. Daniel will tell you, David will tell you, Paul will tell you, Jesus will tell you. You can't deal with this prideful, self-possessed nature. You can be anointed to your teeth, but you're still full of so much. The only way is a life of fasting. From the day I got saved to today, God has given me grace. If I don't fast, then I become somebody. The only way you come and say, oh, God, I give you glory. God, I give you praise. Receive all the glory. What you're saying doesn't matter to God. It's how you live and how you operate that gives him glory. Not what you say. God already knows. And the only way to achieve that is to humble yourself. One word for humbling yourself is fasting. Humble your soul. The last one. This last one is actually, everything I told you now is what Jesus said. After Jesus taught all the keys of the kingdom, all the principles of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5, he went to Matthew chapter 6 and said, do this and you walk in it. Everything I told you now is in Matthew chapter 6. But I just summarized it. Prayer, fasting. But he started with one. I used to avoid that one. But I didn't know that one is the key. Number 5. Number 1, the word. 2, worship. 3, prayer. 4, fasting. Number 5 is giving. You don't know what self is until you know how to give. You don't know the power of God until you start giving. Giving is not money. All these 3 things I gave to you comes from giving. If you don't give yourself to the word of God, if you don't give yourself to worship, if you don't give yourself to prayer, if you don't give yourself to fasting, you have to give your time and yourself to these things. That's giving. That's consecration. That's setting apart. And let me tell you, if you want to experience supernatural wealth, you have to learn how to obey God in giving money. I don't speak about it a lot because it's been polluted. But the only reason I live and I live today is the power of giving. I don't depend on no man. But God uses men. Because this is you. Because I found out you can never obey God in giving and not experience it supernatural. That's why I say God will give back to you supernaturally. A widow woman was going to eat the last food and with his son and die. Elijah says no. Why? Because God sent Elijah to the woman and says, that woman will feed you the rest of the days. The woman did not have food. My brothers and sisters, your giving does not depend on your bank account. It's the sacrificial heart of obedience. A poor widow woman fed Elijah throughout the years of famine. Why? She gave of heart. And God, Jesus says, for God so loved, he what? He gave his only son. That's the only way I live. I pay my bills through giving and prayer. Supernatural wealth is not dependent on what you earn. It's dependent on what God does when you obey. 5 things that stirs up. That woman was stirred. All through the Bible you see, it stirs up the supernatural. Amen. in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to close with this. I want to show you something. Why people didn't receive from Jesus, and why we come to church, we don't receive. But this morning, you receive. Amen? I pray that somebody will receive. Please, Albert, help me. There's something he's going to bring for me, and I want to show you something. I want to show you what happened, why the people did not receive. No, Robert is going to bring it. Yes. See this? How many of you see this?
Yes.
I can walk on this. I can walk on it. This is our flesh. Yeah. Thank you. You all see this? I can work on this. I can do anything with it. I can wear it. I can play with it. I can run around it. I can walk around it. I can do this. I can walk. This is called flesh. The outer courts, outer covering of Christ. This is who the disciples, the people that were raised with Jesus, saw him to be. And God designed us in the human to be servants. So we are just, I want to share a secret with you so you remember. You see, these words I'm touching can never shock you. There is no power to what I'm holding. See, I'm holding it. There's no power. What you see with your physical eyes has no power. What you're looking at here can't help you. There's no power. That's why we don't receive. We're trying to receive from man, not the Holy Ghost. If you want power, you have to go beyond the outer court. You have to go beyond this rubber. You have to touch something that you don't see. You can't touch it without faith. I want to show you what this does. So, I plug this to power because there's something inside of this that can connect to power. I plug it. It's connected. Amen. This is power.
Amen.
This is power.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's power. I bear witness. I came from God. I'm light. Now he says, you are the light of the world.
Amen.
This is confirmation, manifestation of power. Huh?
Yes.
But I can work on this. Nothing happens to me. I can work on this. I can grab it. I can put it around me. I can do everything with it. I can tie it around me. It doesn't touch me. That's what we do when we come to church. That's what this flesh is. We're trying to receive from flesh. We're trying to receive from man. We're trying to receive from something that is supposed to be dead. But the purpose is dead. The purpose is cannot give you power. Is to hide the power from destroying people. It's so that it's connected. You see, there is something in this wire you cannot see. That thing connects to power. It's one with power, but you cannot see it. So this cannot help you, what I'm touching. If you want to touch power, you have to connect to what you don't see.
Amen.
And it lives inside of you.
Amen.
Greater is he that The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Abby, put Ephesians 3:20 on the screen. We are done, but I pray that you receive. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works where? In me. In you. Those that worship him, worships him in spirit and in truth. My brothers and sisters, everything that we've shared today, why people didn't receive from Jesus yesterday, is the same reason they don't receive from him today. We are looking to men, not to the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power, the Holy Ghost power. Lives in me, lives in you. Amen? This is power. If you want to get power to get shock, try to touch what you don't see. Something will happen to you, isn't it? You won't see that light. It will go through you. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Today, I want you to be like that woman with the issue of blood. If I can only touch him. Not just the physical. I want to touch. Jesus says, power has gone out of me. Faith.
Hallelujah.
Faith. Faith is the only way. So this morning, Pentecost Sunday, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Only believe, all things are possible. This morning, I want us to stand. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you. I went through sickness. I prayed in the Holy Ghost until I don't know how many days. I worshipped. I did all these things. And it's gone. This is your yes. I have financial problems, needs. I did these things I'm telling you. God came through. It does not matter how things look, how things are. I just share with you, there is nothing the Holy Ghost cannot do. But we must connect to him, not man.
Amen.
So if you're here this morning, I want you to connect to this power.
Amen.
Salaba babas. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I honor you. I thank you for those online and those that are watching and those that are here. Wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're standing. And if you choose to, hey, it doesn't matter. But this morning, if your faith has been stirred up, the Spirit of God has stirred you up.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you want a miracle and you want a breakthrough and you are expecting God. You can be anywhere. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God is here right now. He's right there where you are. He's right there where you are. He's right there anywhere you are. He's in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. So this morning, all I just want to do is just to obey the word of the Lord. Says you lay hands. Is your heart, is your expectation, the hand is just the connection to power. Your faith should be connected to the Holy Spirit to power. So if you want to be prayed for, you want me to agree with you to release a fresh Pentecost, you can come out, you can stand where you are. We're still going to pray. Actually, some of you have already received, and if you want to go deeper wherever you are, just keep praying in the Spirit and just give yourself to the Lord. And if any of you need prayer, just come out. Shara baba baba sa. Oh, lekeri santa makades. Le rabasata. Receive, receive in the name of Jesus. Receive power. You have power. You have power. You have power. You have power. Greater is he that is in you. 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 God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. But a power. 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 You shall receive power. I will lay my hands on you, but you receive power. Receive power. Receive power wherever you are. In the name of Jesus. Konde rabadas le paronde brekarasa. Tune to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. He is the power. In the name of Jesus. Shorabababa. I command your body to receive power. I command your mind to receive power. I command your soul to receive power. In the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Quicken your body. Raise your body. Heal your body. Restore your body. Now. In the name of Jesus. Open your hearts and receive. In the name of Jesus. Receive power. Receive power. Receive power right now. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Tap into the invisible world. Lekarabashata. Sendelebekayabas. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Touch him by faith. Touch him, touch him. The power is here. Power is here. Power is here. Power of the Holy Ghost. Touch him with your faith. Touch him with your faith. Look beyond the natural. Close your eyes and touch him. Touch him. Receive power. Power.